Good afternoon. It is 4 minutes after 2. Today is March 25th, 2015. With me at the table, Senator Hoffman, Senator Dunleavy, Senator Olson. Welcome. Myself, Senator McKinnon, and I expect to be joined shortly by other Finance Committee members. We were delayed on the floor this afternoon, so folks might be trying to get something to eat or already in other meetings. Today before the committee is SCR1. It's a proposal for a civic education task force. With us at the table, Mr. Tim Lampkin from Senator Stevens' office. Welcome. If you could identify yourself for the record and roll out your proposal.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson, Senator McKinnon. For the record, my name is Tim Lampkin, staff to Senator Gary Stevens. Senator Stevens should or could very well be here any moment to join me. He, as we all are, quite busy today, but we want to thank you for hearing this bill. In short, we just want to share with you the fact that there seems to be a quiet epidemic amongst our students and youth in the country, apathy and ignorance. Even for decades, we focus now, particularly with regard to adopting the No Child Left Behind, an increasing focus on math, science, reading, writing, and testing. And the question being is, for what? Are we training good worker bees when we maybe should be also considering training leaders and good thinkers? Liberal arts has been left behind, and other states have taken notice of this with a wide range of policies that they have adopted over the years, several various types of adjustments to, in fact, include a list that I've compiled for your consideration of a total of 77 laws and policies adopted since 95, when, in fact, those things include things such as changes in curriculum, exit exams in civics, observing things like what they call a Freedom Week or Lincoln's birthday, flag etiquette, community involvement, volunteerism, an increase in an encouragement of registering to vote, those types of activities. In Alaska, the only activity that we have done, as I believe you should see in your packet, is in 2000 we adopted House Bill 192, which requires school districts to regularly recite the Pledge of Allegiance, or they may, of course, opt out as a moment of silence. But that's really the only substantive thing that we have done in Alaska since 95. One movement embraces, for example, and you'll hear from a gentleman here shortly, that embraces a quiz, the same quiz that is used by the Department of Immigration Services, that in order for folks coming into the country to get their citizenship, they have to take a 100-question quiz. And, for example, you know, what are the branches of government? What's the purpose of the First Amendment? What was the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, and so forth? And surprisingly, as you, I think, over here and also see in the packet, that it only takes, of these 100 questions, it only takes 60%, 60 of 100, to get those questions correctly in order to pass and to get your citizenship. Well, there's folks, these immigrants that are coming to the country, 92% of them are passing this test. That same test was given a few years ago in Arizona and Oklahoma to graduating high school seniors, and only 3% in Arizona are passing that very same test, and only 4% in Oklahoma are passing that test at that time. So there's a substantial amount of research out there that makes it clear that our youth is disassociated pretty much from our republic. They don't seem to care. They're apathetic. This effort that we have before you is an attempt to reverse that trend, make an investment in our future, and SCR1 would establish a task force to carefully look at this issue, ascertain what we're doing here now, what's happening elsewhere, bring forth a number of options that the legislature might embrace, not necessarily any unfunded mandates or increased costs and so forth, but just to look and see how we can improve civics education in our state. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and I see that my esteemed senator has now joined us to follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senator Gary Stevens, District P, I really apologize for getting stuck with a few of my constituents that wouldn't let me go, but I appreciate your hearing this bill, and appreciate Tim's being here to explain it. Knows as much as I do about it, if not more. The idea here is very simple, that we do need to find a way to help the children of Alaska become more involved in politics, in voting, in being citizens in their own community. And this is the point we're trying to get across here. As I was talking with you earlier, Madam Chair, I was mentioning a study that was made probably 15 years ago, a very similar study, but it was done by folks that were not legislators. and nothing ever happened to it. It was put on the shelf. This task force, I believe, will lead in some really strong suggestions that we can actually enforce. Now, I know we're in a tough time, and we've been talking about the financial situation we're in. I'm perfectly willing to zero out the fiscal note on this, and we will make it work without a fiscal note. But I do believe that things have been done around the country that we can learn from. For example, in Boston, they were able to, in New Hampshire, they were, I'm sorry, not in Boston, Massachusetts, they had a task force that wound up, one of the suggestions was to bring industry together, put some money together, and bring teachers into Boston and try to help them figure out how they could teach civics in their classrooms that they were already teaching. Not a separate class, not demanding a civics education class, but in fact finding a way to incorporate that throughout the curriculum. So I think that's the way I'd like to go with this task force. I think it'll make some good recommendations and cost-effective recommendations that we can actually accomplish and make things better for our children.
Senator Stephen, thank you for those remarks. Mr. Lampkin, thank you for those remarks. I wanted to make sure Senator Machicki joined us some time ago, and we appreciate you coming to the table, too. Welcome, Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Dunning.
Thank you. Just a statement. I commend the Senator for looking at this issue. As was stated, the percentage of folks that are eligible to vote seems to be dropping. It's certainly not growing. Several years ago, when Iraq had its first election, I think upwards of 79% of the folks voted in the face of being assassinated, blown up, etc. Remember, they put their finger or their thumb in the inkwell to indicate that they already voted. 22 countries in the world mandate voting. Australia fines you if you don't vote. President Obama's been talking about this issue. And the only statement I would make, and I'll have future conversations with the senator, is and I think Tim brought it up, is the folks that come to the country, they want to come to the country, they study for the test, they want to be Americans, and they want to partake in it. And the devil, you know, the devil's going to be in the details. It's kind of it's a values issue. And I do believe that hopefully through your work, we can instill a desire, a value to once again demonstrate to people that we've had Americans, hundreds of thousands of Americans die to protect our right to be who we are. Unfortunately, part of being who we are is also the choice not to vote, which I, like many, think is problematic. But to make a long story short, it'll be very interesting to see what the outcomes are, and I hope that it actually could make a difference.
Thank you to Senator Dunleavy. Could we put on the record, Senator Stevens, exactly who is being proposed in this piece of legislation for participation in the task force?
Certainly. That's gone through several iterations. And Tim, if you would read through those names, those positions.
Sure. Through the chair, currently version P before you has a task force membership that would consist of three representatives from the House of Representatives, one of which would be from the Minority Caucus. Correspondingly, there'd be three senators from the Senate, and one of which would be from their Minority Caucus. One would be the designee of the Department of Education, the commissioner or his or her designee. One representative would be from NEA, and that specifically would have some experience and background in civics education. One person would be appointed that would represent the school boards in our state. We've also got one person that would represent a student body. That would be a senior in high school with demonstrated interest in civics and or leadership. We also would have one member that would represent the judiciary, that being particularly a judge, and then finally one person that would be representing the University of Alaska. Total members of 12 members.
Thank you for putting that on the record. What I'd like to do now with the support of the committee is Senator Stevens has asked for some invited testimony, and so I'd like to go to the invited testimony prior to opening the public hearing. First, I'm not sure if he is here or off net. Mr. Lampkin, is Michael Polyakov here or off net?
Madam Chairman, he should be online at this time.
Online. Mr. Polyakov, are you with us?
Yes.
We can barely hear you, sir.
Is this better now?
It is. If you could identify yourself for the record, we have a PowerPoint presentation on a screen ready to go.
Thank you so much, Senator McKinnon. I'm Michael Polyakov, Vice President of Policy of the American Council of Trustees and Alumni, and I thank you and Mr. Lampkin and Senator Stevens and the Senate Finance Committee for the opportunity to be part of this discussion of this vital initiative to improve civic education. The American Council of Trustees and Alumni, since its founding in 1995, has been deeply committed to the imperative of a citizenry that understands America's free institutions and their history. Could we go to slide 2, please? Civic education must be based on civic knowledge and understanding of America's institutions of government. I note that SCR 1 properly starts with a call to assess the state of civic education. I would suggest that no student should leave high school without a strong foundation in United States history, including how the institutions of government developed. No student should leave college, especially a publicly funded university, without a mature collegiate grasp of American history and the successes and failures of our free institutions. Our founders were keenly aware that the lifespan of liberty is unlikely to be long without well-informed participating citizens. Slide 3, please. Nationwide, our free institutions are threatened by a plague of ignorance and undereducation in civic matters. The American Council surveys college students and college graduates regularly to assess the state of historical and civic knowledge. The results are terrifying. Slide 4, please. These are not College Bowl or Trivial Pursuit questions. Voters who do not even know the term lengths of the representatives they elect are unlikely to be making well-informed decisions. And that's, of course, an understatement. We know from the 2006 Pew Research Center report that only 26% of the 18 to 29-year-olds could name Condoleezza Rice as Secretary of State, and only 15% knew that Vladimir Putin was President of Russia. In the 1998 survey of teenagers by the National Constitution Center, only 41% could name the three branches of government, but 51% could name the three stooges. Slide 5, please. There's a cause and effect issue here, and we might now turn to remedies. I note that the proposed legislation looks toward best practices in other states. Texas, Georgia, and Nevada have legislation for public universities that requires all students to take coursework within their core curricular requirements or to pass examinations in United States history and government. Recently, as Mr. Lankin noted, Arizona and North Dakota have passed laws mandating that students pass examinations showing civic literacy. Alaska does very well to consider the practices of states that require coursework based on knowledge and understanding of the primary documents of American and state government. These are not expensive initiatives to sound the alarm and to get remedies, getting the people and the legislature focused on things that will work. It's true that community service projects are part of an important ethic characteristic of our nation. They are a key part of religious and civic associations. But schools and colleges are the unique and essential place for teaching and learning about America's history and government. And this legislation properly looks towards schools. No other institution will reliably fill the gap left by weak educational standards. It is my hope that the initiative of SCR 1 will lead to new requirements in Alaska, both at the K-12 and the collegiate level, that will turn back the dangerous tide of historical and civic illiteracy that is now so prevalent in so many places in the United States and will set a very high example for other states to follow. Thank you for the opportunity to be with you for this important discussion.
Are there questions from committee members? Senator Dunleavy.
Mr. Polyakov, one of the discussions that has been going on for some time involving this particular topic is not just exposure to the founding documents, Declaration of Independence, even Articles of Confederation, Constitution, and Federalist Papers, but how do you, you have some division within the ranks of folks who are well-versed in these issues. Some believe that the Constitution is a living document. Some believe it's static. Some believe that there should be more weight to given to maybe a certain voices in the founding of this country. Others feel there's a difference that we should be listening to modern voices in America. How does one settle upon at least, if not one, at least a narrow view of how the interpretation of these documents should be shared with students both in public school and college?
It is certainly a best practice within the world of education to bring case studies, real-life examples of how our system of government works. And we should be perfectly honest, there are times when it doesn't work well. But it is the core knowledge that allows us to have that discussion. There is no substitute for the civic empowerment that comes from knowing the laws that we have, the institutions of government we have, and how we got them. And so in that regard, we've got to stop the civic disempowerment that comes from such appalling ignorance as we find. And of course, as I said before, the case study method is one way in which the core documents are adequately studied and their application as living documents can come to the fore.
Hey, thank you. Just two quick comments.
Certainly.
Putin was also premier as well as president. I think there were four stooges, Curly, Moe, Shimp, and Larry, just for that.
I would allow that fourth one, although they're classically the three, but point taken.
Michael, thank you for joining Senate Finance Committee. We appreciate the abbreviated presentation.
Delighted to be with you.
Next online in invited testimony is Samuel Stone. Samuel is the Executive Director of the Civics Education Initiative. Mr. Stone, are you with us? And if you are, please identify
yourself. Yes, I am.
If you could identify yourself.
Thank you for having me today. My name is Samuel Stone. I'm the Executive Director of the Civics Education Initiative at the Joe Fox Institute. And as Mr. Polyakov mentioned, we're actually the organization that's promoted legislation first in Arizona and North Dakota, and now we've also had it passed in South Dakota, Utah, and are very close in several other states. Regarding some very basic civics requirements that we've asked schools to perform for their students in terms of having them take and pass the USCIS civics and history exam as part of their curriculum. That's something that we support, but we also as an institute support the broader knowledge of civics, and I think Mr. Polyakov outlined the problem rather perfectly, and I don't need to go into all the statistics. One study after another really shows all the same things. We are failing our kids in this knowledge. It's certainly not their fault. It's very much on us to focus on what we can do to improve civics education for our students. But first, I would just ask all of you in the room as legislators, and I've had the chance this year to meet legislators from across the country in about 20 different states, why you got into this business and why you're doing the things you're doing. And I've never met a legislator who got into it because they're going to become fabulously wealthy or have their feats recorded throughout the annals of history. Every legislator I've ever met does it because they want to make some small difference in the lives of the people in their state and their community. And you can't do that without an understanding of how our government works. And so to get more people like you, to get more people who are eager to engage in that process, we need to make sure kids have that knowledge. And so obviously, whether you end up with the current fiscal note or zeroing it out, even at the current fiscal note, you're talking about an investment of pennies per student for every student in Alaska to give this task force a chance to look at options for what kind of knowledge that schools can impart, how you can improve those programs, ways to engage them actively in their communities, ways to transfer that learning and that knowledge into action that benefits a much broader populace. And so I think that really needs to be the main focus here is we have an obligation as adults to this next generation and to every generation that follows to ensure that they have the opportunity to engage and do the things that we're all doing here today. And that we've all in our lives made a commitment to work and fight for, right? But we all agree on how we can work together through our system of government. We need to stress that. And one last comment, and I'll be available for questions after, but relating to the previous question, in terms of a narrative to civics and history, I like to say, look, narrative speak for itself. We have the words of our founders. Students can go back and read them. They debated. Some of them thought the Constitution should be a living document, and some thought it should be a static document. It continued as part of the great growth of our society. And I really very much encourage you to authorize this task force and give them to really look at programs that can benefit students. And there are a lot of nonprofits like the one I work with, the Civic Renewal Network, all sorts of groups across the country that offer plenty of materials and different programs that can be looked at as models for this kind of thing. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Stone? Seeing and hearing none, thank you, Mr. Stone, for joining the Senate Finance Committee today.
Thank you.
With that, with the support of the committee, I'd like to open the public hearing on SCSCR1 Education, the task force. The public hearing is open. Stuart Thompson. Stuart, we have your written testimony. We've spoken earlier. Please identify yourself for the record, any affiliation, and proceed with your comments.
Thank you, ma'am. The material you have was directed at the Education Committee. I have coordinated in days past with your aide about allowing time for my precise fiscal testimony on SCR1. I'm effectively honoring what you demanded to be allowed the special consideration to give specific, well-founded income planning testimony to support SCR1. So for the record, greetings to the chair people and members of the Senate Finance Committee. I am Stuart Thompson, an informed citizen of Senator Huggins' district, here to give fiscal testimony in support of SCR1 on behalf of myself and four other citizens who generally agree with my testimony. I have 5.5 minutes of prepared fiscal testimony, giving five standalone medium to long range fiscal solutions to offer. Ms. Chairwoman, may I proceed?
Please proceed.
Okay. Start of testimony. I call on the legislature's finance committees to have the humility to consider thinking outside of the box to increase funding streams while simultaneously cutting expenditures, the proven way to handle fiscal troubles. In SCR1's case, investing $1,500 to eventually reap billions from creating more competent citizens should be a no-brainer. Still, I offer for your consideration standalone means of covering the fiscal impact of SCR1 and its inevitable task force recommendations. They all arise from our political heritage, they don't call for new taxes, and don't rob Peter to pay Paul, and any of them would pay for things. Number one, the volume of true citizen participation in government of, for, and by the people is probably the most reliable test for public education effectiveness that could ever be. In other words, if we are not getting volume citizen participation in our system of self-government, effectively encouraging life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, Alaska is being ripped off by its education spending, and you officials are unwittingly condoning it. So lean on the Alaska Bar Association to provide pro bono legal services to investigate and prosecute fraud and embezzlement and fraudulent compliance to our Constitution's Article 7. They should target education contractors and subject matter dictators like textbook vendors and federal government-supported special interests. Consider, if the state paid for bridge construction and the bridge failed spectacularly from shoddy work and materials, we would sue the contractor, right? This method might take a while, but we could recover millions. Number two, arrange for PFD donations, click, click, give, to defray Alaska civics education costs. This avoids the dedicated funding prohibitions on the legislature. The legitimacy of this artifice is completely supported by our Constitution's Article 1, Section 1. It can be truthfully pitched as a direct way for citizens to increase future PFDs. If even half of PFD recipients gave $5, there'd be well over $1 million to defray the costs of teaching true civics and our political heritage. Number three, if you take off the social engineering arbitraries forced on teachers and make students actually practice methodologies of our political heritage through assisting in their own education, current funding would suffice. Look at all the money that would be saved from not paying for goon administrators, drugs, and prison school design that are absolutely necessary to support the current methodologies of school feudalism, territorial rule by nobles. What am I saying? Consider the supreme hypocrisy of treating kids as dumb, unruly peasants while toothlessly teaching them about our heritage of liberty and justice. Students should naturally laugh and jeer at this, call free speech, but they don't dare because they rightly fear feudal punishment. Example, look into Juno's Bong Hits for Jesus student reprisal incident. Number four, have the UAA sell some of its land to contribute funding for civics education. It's actually a natural investment that will drive up tuition income. How's this? Encouraging self-government early forces people's faces into how they need to acquire more skills and secondhand information to achieve their ambitions or dreams for themselves and others. Example, if a young person conceives that it is a necessity for posterity's welfare to develop and get utilized environmentally friendly mining technology, and riding the wave of this would make him wealthy, he'd be on to going to university like flies on excrement. Number five, the most powerful solution to getting civics and our full political heritage taught is to use the power of civic participation itself. Have the governor openly ask Alaskans of every political stripe, liberal, libertarian, and conservative, to donate time to explain in classrooms their take on government, with substantiation from the documents within our political heritage. Students would be first carefully educated, observing the discipline of the scientific method, that opinions and schemes derived from repeatedly verified principles are never as valuable as the principles themselves. This is the answer to fears of susceptibility to propaganda and mind control. This way, volunteers also don't get accused of and punished for allegedly corrupting youth like Socrates. Here are two quotes from U.S. founding fathers that elaborate on what I mean. Shake up all the fears of servile prejudices under which weak minds are servilely crouched. Fix reason firmly in her seat and call on our tribunal for every fact, every opinion. Question with boldness even the existence of a God, because if there be one, he must more approve of the homage of reason than that of blindfolded fear. Thomas Jefferson. An army of principles will penetrate where an army of soldiers cannot. It will succeed where diplomatic management would fail. It is neither the Rhine, the Channel, nor the ocean that can arrest progress. It will march on the horizons of the world, and it will conquer. Thomas Paine. Note, I pray that God sends to hell the federal government big shots that don't follow these principles. Good luck on your deliberations. The text of this testimony will be faxed in to help.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. We appreciate your testimony. Are there questions from committee members? Senator Dunleavy.
Just a comment for Mr. Thompson. I'm reading through the, listening to the testimony and reading through the packet, and it's fascinating. And I appreciate you sending it in. It's very enlightening, and I'm not just saying that. I just want to read one quote that he has in here, which I think is interesting. It says, "We're not stupid people, far from it. We're actually more educated than any generation in history, but we simply haven't been paying attention as citizens." Anyway, I just want to thank him for that.
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Thompson, for testifying in front of Senate Finance Committee today. Is there anyone else here in Juneau wishing to testify on Senate Concurrent Resolution 1? Is there anyone online wishing to testify on Senate Concurrent Resolution 1? Seeing and hearing none, the public hearing is closed. Senator Stevens, any final comments before we set the bill aside?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we have to understand there's more, and I know you do, than to civics education than the foundational documents. And as important as they are, they certainly are crucial, but there's a lot more. There's classes that students take in history and in democracy and economics and government. There are I guess I was really fortunate in a school to have studies current events as well as the democratic processes, and certainly we even had mock legislatures to learn how legislatures work and studied parliamentary procedures. So I guess I was lucky there. I guess if you don't mind, I'd like to close up with something I usually would like to start with, and apologize for not being able to be here earlier, but I'd like to quote my favorite historical personage in American history, and that's Benjamin Franklin. I know Senator Dunleavy is familiar with him as well. But Franklin, in 1787, when he was writing the new Constitution, and he and others in Philadelphia, as he left that room, they had written the Constitution. A lady stopped him in Philadelphia and said this, "Well, doctor, what have we got, a republic or a monarchy?" And his answer was very simple. He said, "A republic, if you can keep it." That's the key thing. He didn't say if a president can keep it. He didn't say if the governor can keep it. He didn't say if Congress can keep it. He said if you can keep it. And that's the danger we face if the youths of this country, you and me and our children and grandchildren, are not really prepared as they should to protect democracy. Thank you, Madam Chair. And again, perfectly willing to see this zeroed out as in terms of a fiscal limit. I realize the problems you're facing. If we move ahead with this, I can guarantee you I will find members of a task force who will make this even better than a zero budget. I bet they'll give you money to serve on this task force. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Not for the money, but for the presentation. Are there questions from committee members? Thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything else to come before the committee? Seeing none, I'd like to advise you that on Thursday, March 26, 2015, in the Senate Finance Committee Room 532, at 9 a.m. tomorrow, we'll be taking up SB 34, Power Cost Equalization Endowment Fund Investments, and SGR 2, a constitutional amendment looking at geo bonds for student loans. On Thursday, we'll be taking up, in the afternoon, bills previously heard. With that, we're adjourned.